Yeah, unmute us there. So when I say that, turn it up. Yeah. Get that music going. A little too casual here, Yaya. What is up, everybody? And welcome into a very special casual Thursday edition of the DNVR Nuggets podcast.
Let's go.
Eric, I'm going to need a little more from you today.
I'll give you what I want.
This is a metal round. You know, we're going to need a little extra energy. I'm very excited for the show. I'm always excited to do the show. You guys can hear it in my voice, in the ramp up here.
I think that's the coffee.
I did drink twice as much coffee as I informed these guys as I usually do. I don't know why I did it. I drink a lot of coffee, but I'm very excited because I think the show's going to be fun.
Boy, what a change.
What a change of pace. Well, I'm just saying, like, last couple of days, there's been some heavy topics coming down the pipeline. Just
do you want to circle back?
Today, all fun. Actually, all hate.
I know. What could be more fun?
Nothing could be more fun.
Nothing fuels my soul more than things that I shouldn't hate, but I do hate.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm gonna ratchet that hate up. You don't even know the list yet, Eric, but this list comes through. There's going to be some that just...
I'm curious if there are things that I can conjure hate for on the spot.
I'm not. I know the answer to that one, and it's absolutely yes. We're presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DMVR whenever you sign up. And you can gamble along on Eurobasket, on football, college football, and professional. Of those three, how would you rank them for gambling, Eric?
Football is a great gambling sport because there's a lot of downtime
that
you don't realize that usually is like occupied by just nervous feelings, thinking about what's going to happen next. You know, you can bet on the result of each drive. There's a lot of flash betting that can happen for football. So, and you can just fade with no remorse our local team. They are just terrible.
You should be like, are they going to make this record long field goal? No, they're not. Terrible odds. It doesn't matter. That's what we're going to bet on. I would say, though, you're right about the positionality of football and how much time there's. Betting on whether a team is going to score on a respective drive is one of my favorite bets there is.
It's great.
It's a dumb bet, I have a feeling. Like, if you asked a sharp, they'd probably be like, yeah, that's not how you make money. But me, I'm not here to make money. I'm here to have fun.
Dude, something was put, like, football was put so clearly into perspective for me with one quote the other day. Like,
let me hear it.
Somebody said that, or it was a comedian stand-up, and they were like talking about how, you know, Americans complain that soccer, there's no scoring, low scoring, whatever, and they're like, you guys just invented points in football. If somebody wins 21-14, it's 3-2.
Yeah. kind of.
It is. They scored three times versus two times.
I strong disagree. This is what's so great about the... God damn it. Why are we on a rabbit hole? We're already up.
Segment A.
Because you have 7 points and 3 points. It's the perfect breakdown. A field goal should be less than half of a whole one.
I like it. But I'm saying, like, they inflate the concept that there's a lot of scoring in football.
That's true.
By saying
that's true.
Each score is worth seven. You're like,
oh my God, they scored 35
they scored
points.
Seven, come on, which means they scored one.
Yeah. All right, you raise a point. I'm out of order already. I'll just go ahead and introduce it. Vote, you chose an interesting outfit today. Thanks. Lots of colors and patterns going on.
Yeah. Just figured I'd do me and be me, you know? Take a page out of Kyle Kuzma, just be myself fearlessly out in the world.
Big mistake. Huge fail.
I'm looking at it on the screen, and like the plaid pants just sort of like turn into just like a brown pant. You don't realize the patterns that are happening.
Yeah.
Like, I am pattern
I will tell you one thing that's hilarious, though, with this fisheye lens. Look how tiny Vote looks.
I know.
He looks so wee. He's a wee little lad there in the middle.
Did you guys know that I'm smaller than the rest of the show?
Everybody
just
knows
a
that.
Tiny little baby.
Over here, I got D-Line, but you guys know him better as Eric.
What's up, guys? I'm ready for the show today. I'm wearing a hockey shirt and nothing, like no Nuggets basketball, anything at all. I'm wearing Jordans.
There you go. Haters Ball segment two. Do you approve? Which is kind of just another Haters Ball in segment three.
No.
But we're going to start with the Lover's Ball.
Oh.
And love fully being shined on Vlatko Chanchar, as he's known.
The Chanch.
Chucky. Chucky absolutely dominant in last night's loss, Slovenian loss. So I guess he couldn't have been too dominant, but he was extremely good in the game. He had 21 points, 7 of 14 shooting, 2 of 7 from the three-point line, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, including a sick block in the post. He gets in the post. I don't know if you know the play I'm talking about. Fourth quarter, late in the game, he gets switched out onto the big, buried deep, and you're thinking, like, mismatch, mouse in the house. You got a power forward on a center. Guy turns around, does a little shimmy shake, does a move. Vlatko blocks it back into him for like the block that, you know, you were in possession of. I was kind of like one of those ones where I'm like, damn, this dude like is like a beast in the post. I thought he was great despite the fact that Slovenia lost. Did you watch the game? What did you take away from Bletko?
Well, he was a big part of them almost not losing that comeback effort to begin with. And to the point where they might have done better. I felt like in the fourth, a lot of his looks were sort of late shot clock grenades. But maybe they could have turned to him a little more. Well, that's a crazy thing to say because there's an established pecking order. But he, listen, he's got to be one of their top four most reliable players. Not necessarily best, but reliable at this point. He looks good, but it's also that type of performance. He looks good in different ways than he does with the Nuggets, which is, oh, I didn't know he has pull-ups. I didn't know he could fill it up like that. I didn't know he could look so smooth and less sort of blocky, stiff. Yeah. So I thought he played well yet again.
Man, this is the one. My main takeaway from watching Eurobasket is that it is like there's such a principle around the way that Europeans in general will talk to us about basketball. We hear this all the time. Like, the team is larger than the individual. And there's a lot of like really philosophical ideas that go into the way that the teams play. But at a certain point, you're like, give the ball to the best fucking players. Like, there's so many times you're like, bro, why? I know that Kalinic was open. He's not as good as Jokic. I know that this guy would like there. Yeah, the right play ultimately can become the wrong play if it falls into the wrong.
But Eric, here's one thing that's interesting to me is that Slovenia plays more like the Dallas Mavericks than they do the Serbian national team. And there's pros to cons. Like, I've been talking about this a lot on different shows and different things, but you know, there's pros and cons to all of these things. I don't think there is a universal truth to basketball. There are just a lot of different schools of it. And sometimes one school will be the best philosophy for that given moment or game or tournament or whatever. Often it's moment or possession, what have you, and mastering all of them. I don't think anybody can or ever has mastered all of them, but being able to call on different things. And so to your point, Slovenia, they are like, we have Luka Doncic.
Yep.
He's going to handle the ball every time, and everyone's going to be around that. And there's principles, obviously, of this more like teamwork style. The problem in this game, though, is that Luka Doncic fouled out with 3 or 4 minutes to go. And he kind of got. Can I tell you something? Luka Doncic, I love him. He's a great player. Not the best player in this game.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is the mental stuff. Yep. We saw a lot of this throughout Jokic's career. Different version of it, but just this dynamic of that kind of getting in the way of the talent. I would even place it above conditioning at this point of the number one thing keeping him from...
Think it's attitude? Because I love his attitude.
I love his attitude day to day, but I still think that Luka can get a bit... Like, Jokic at his worst loses sight of who the opponent is, and he switches his fury towards the refs.
I see.
I think Luka can get distracted from concentrated, focus, tight shit basketball cost of both proving a point as a scorer to the refs and his defender.
I agree with this, and it is a real part for both Jokic. I mean, Jokic got text yelling at referees in this tournament. Like, he's still... you know, on the spectrum of like growing past that, all of that. Luka, I think you're right, has a little more fire in ways that serves him and sometimes even better though. Like, look, man, there's a top five to me most badass moment in the history of the NBA is him walking off the court saying everybody's tough when they're up and then proceeding to just drop two masterpieces on Phoenix Suns. Like, that's one of the most badass things, and he has a lot of that. But you're right. But I actually set you up for an alley-oop that you pulled out for a three. I'll go again. But Luka was not the best player in that game.
No, it was our guy Panicka.
There we go! Finally, we arrived at the greatest part.
First team my guy. When did I dish our guys out this week from Eurobasket?
He's first team your guy?
He's my guy, man. He has to be.
Because you've watched the one game with him and he was Michael Jordan.
I watched an irrational amount of Poland this tournament. I was into them. I called them dark horses, if you'll remember. But Panicka is a baller. And
he's such a baller.
Not only was
Hooper? Hooper. He's a hooper, man.
He's a hooper. That's the third ever triple-double in Eurobasket, and he did it to advance to Poland's first semifinal since, I want to say, 72? So that's a moment. He did it going toe-to-toe with Luka in Slovenia, and he's just really fun to watch. He's also, guys, a Denver Nuggets legend. He was on the 2016 Summer League team. Did you know that?
Did you send that to him?
Oh, I should have.
Send it to him.
Right,
Wynn put it in the chat, I think.
Yeah.
I knew it because I'm a member of our Slack.
Yeah, that's how you knew.
Oh, yeah, I guess I told you.
This guy, this is one of the joys of Eurobasket, is just discovering these guys that like are also ballers. Maybe they're not NBA caliber. Maybe they are, and it's just,
they
know.
They just never got the chance.
They were Torrey Craig-esque, where like they got good after the draft selection process. And then it was like, do I come over? I'm doing good over here. This is a guy that for whatever reason didn't pan out. Did you throw it up on the screen there?
I'm sending it to him
right now. Oh, you're sending it to him right now. Because apparently he did play for the Denver Nuggets Summer League back in 2016, which I believe is the Jimmer Fredette year. And we're trying to figure out why we don't remember him or why he didn't shine. If you remember, and it was a bit of a double-edged sword, Jimmer Fredette in that year played with the Nuggets Summer League team and was too good. He had a 50-point game. It might have been 45 points. I don't remember. But it was like he was too good for Summer League. And you get into a game and one guy has 20 points in one quarter and you're like, well, we better keep feeding him. And it's like, yeah. Why? We know who Jimmer Fredette is. We want to find out who Wancho and Jamal are. And apparently, Panitka, we needed more reps for Panitka, but how could you take Jimmer off the court? He's just dominating. Anyway, look at him. There he is. This guy right there. Eric, when you look at this guy, what do you see? Cold-blooded assassin, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he looks like a young Eric Weedham, to be honest. That looks like a guy who has a soccer game later on in the day. He's going to eat some orange slices to fuel up.
So many orange slices.
Such a killer, though, apparently. I mean, like, did he even play against Serbia?
It's funny, but like, I didn't even like really.
He did not have a good game. I mean,
We didn't.
This is the craziest thing about single elimination tournaments. Yeah, like, so you have guys that show up, you're like, I mean, we had the Yarmouche game against Greece, where you're like, this is the greatest player that's ever played. Like,
we thought he was so good,
and then he just like sank back down. I mean, I have a feeling we'll see. I mean, if this guy can pull it off again, but like, you can become a hero in one game and just absolutely go off. It's so like the dynamic is so interesting.
This guy's actually good, though. For the record, he's actually like one of their good players. But you're right. I didn't notice. I don't recall him from the Serbia game.
Murdered Poland.
Serbia murdered everybody except for Italy.
I want to kill myself.
I'm not going to lie, man. So what happens? Luka's out. He gets eliminated. There was a small part, just rewinding a little bit. Slovenia down 4 with like 3 minutes to go when Luka fouled out. And there was a little part of me that was like, if Vlatko carries him below here. Oh, but it didn't. There's limitations to how good Vlatko can be. No Luka. No Jokic, no Giannis in the EuroBasket Final Four. I will say, I put this out there, and I ended my tweet with bummer, because I think to any rational person, watching those guys play is a lot of fun, and not having them is not. You would not know that from the mentions, many of which I had to translate, which were like, silly Americans.
I love that.
Don't realize that actually Poland, way more fun to watch than Luka, Giannis, and Jokic. And it's like, guys, get bent, man. Like, there is a part of this of, they're like, oh, you just don't appreciate the team. I do. Anybody that's followed me, like, oh, you don't like EuroBasket for your best. I do. I enjoy it. Guess what would make it better? If those teams played well enough to advance. I'm not saying they should or this or that. I'm just saying it's more fun if Jokic is there, if Giannis is there, and Luka. Didn't happen. It's a bummer. I'm still into it, though.
I love that half second where you wait for the translate to process, and you're like, was this a compliment or an insult?
Oh, like, they were. After like two of those, I was like, they're going to all be insults.
They're all insults.
They're all insults here.
That's a crazy, man. This is the danger of insular thinking is that it goes every way. Thinking that the NBA is the best, EuroBasket. I mean, like, there are universal truths that are, there are the best players in the world that are dominant in EuroBasket, that are dominant in the World Cup, that are dominant in the NBA. Those are three of the best players in the world. There are players that are dominant in EuroBasket that cannot sniff an NBA lineup for one reason or another. But so it's like wanting to see the undeniable best players in the world. This should not be a controversial thing.
No. And it'd be better. They are the best players in the world. And the tournament would be better with them in it, but there is a fun little like layer of irony to it, just in that we build this to ourselves as a big tournament because those three guys were in it, NBA cream of the crop superstars, and we found along the way that the tournament was enjoyable for myriad other reasons. Now they're out, so our little hipster let's be EuroBasket guys stuff, that's really put to the test, because it's not about
I'm still in though
I'm st- that's my point
oh, I haven't watched the game since that, the Serbia game. That's I'm my, so out
I'm still in, and I'm because there's so much to enjoy without them. So, you know, the depth of this being a global game is shining in this tournament, but not in the way we initially thought it would. We're seeing that middle of the pack just be substantially better than maybe we gave them credit for, along with the fact that single elimination is just a chaos conduit.
Total chaos.
Total. It is fun. And like, when we have this new tournament coming to the NBA, it does make you think, like, I'm telling you, I don't think the NBA is going to lean into it. I'm so worried. Players are rolling their eyes and this or that. And I'm kind of like, I don't know, a single elimination tournament in the middle of the year that has some weight, but not the ultimate weight, to me is like, that could be fun as hell. What? If But if it's done right and if right. people commit to it, I just don't think they...
What
it,
is the
neither of those will be true.
What is the outcome? I don't feel like I've heard the resolution of what this
is. Well, I mean, because it's not official yet, so I don't know like what it is. But it's somehow like replacing some regular season games. It's kind of weird how it's going to work out this way. But nonetheless, like, you know, European leagues do have these where there's like a tournament in the middle that's ultimate one, but it's like a little side cup. It's like... who won the NBA championship going forward? It might be who won the championship that year. Well, the big one was this, and then the little one was this. And, you know, the big one will still be 10 times more important than the little one. But my hope is that this little one actually does mean something, and that it's like, hey, it would be cool to be able to say you won all these different trophies or what have you. And making it single elimination does give it this added element of they're all game sevens. Like, we always wonder, players are good in regular season but not playoffs. Some people are good in playoffs when you're up but not down. And some people are great when you're down and in game seven. And this tournament gives you a little taste of what's it like. What kind of players, like, who's the guy, who's the little guy from Orlando? Irrational confidence point guard. Gosh dang it.
Oh, Cole Anthony.
Cole Anthony. Yeah. Like, Cole Anthony's the type of guy I could totally see having a 40-point game.
Oh, no question.
Against the one seed in one of these dumb little tournaments, and you're just like, yeah, Cole Anthony. He's like...
I think of Washington, too, right? Like, that's a team that's not going to compete for a title. And in a series against the best teams in the league, they lose in seven-game series against most of them. But could Bradley Beal beat you one time, enough times? And is that something that the Wizards base is able to get excited about, because there's this air of futility for 98% of the league coming into every season anyway. So I wonder if this can end up being a small bone thrown towards the middling and smaller markets, in that A, we get to see your star in showcase games in ways we might not. But B, I also wonder how they're going to handle this in terms of, can you incentivize this in contracts, right? Yeah. Like, we can give you a max contract that no one else can because you're staying with us. And also, if you win the middle of the season tournament, like it. We give you even more.
I love that, to build it into incentives. Yeah, maybe just, that's the key.
So the Carl Anthony Townsends of the world and stuff. Just one more reason to stay in Minnesota.
Well, Oso Blanco makes a good point here. There's NCAA conference tournaments, which are cool, right? So that's before the thing. And they actually do matter. They don't matter as much as the NCAA Final Four.
You're talking about when the CSU won the Paradise Jam?
Well, Paradise Jam is a separate one. Like, that one, I think, is even less. That's even below.
Okay, well, that's not
the way. I'm saying more the Mountain West tournament. It's like, if you win the Mountain West, that's a big achievement for the year. It's like,
the Mountain West, who cares? Paradise Jam.
Paradise Jam, though, that was the one.
Still talking about it.
That one really got you. I love it. Nobody even knows what that is.
I'm going to Google it.
If you're not going to be in one of the prestigious tournaments, you might as well do Paradise Jam. You know, some guys used to go to, like, Fairbanks.
Right.
In January. And it's like, man, can you imagine if it's like, are we going to Paradise Jam? No, Fairbanks. Like, fuck!
Yeah, you're like, I didn't hear that right. I thought we were going to the Bahamas.
Not the Bahamas, huh? Okay. Shit. Okay. I like this idea. And here's the one thing I'll come back to, because I can tell you right now, LeBron James is going to half-ass that tournament, talk about how dumb it is.
Sure.
Maybe even fake an injury. But here's the one thing. I don't know this for a fact. If Michael Jordan was playing, if this tournament existed in 1992, I would bet money that Michael Jordan would be like, I'm winning that mother effer.
No kidding. Man, I really hope the narrative turns from, are we concerned enough about LeBron James's health, to are we concerned about the NBA being a good product?
Yeah.
Like, we don't care about LeBron. Don't play then.
Right.
Like, there's too many games. Don't play.
Well, that's what I love about this, though. This is a wrinkle of the NBA season that's not for the 1% inherently or necessarily. And not just the players, but the teams in terms of contendership and all of that.
All right. Well, we just shed some love on Eurobasket. We shed some love on Chalky, our guy Chalky.
Dude, my heart is swelling.
I think it's time for us to transition to some hate. Let's hate into our heart.
Oh, let's go.
But first, a little bit more love for our friends at Ivaca TV, who've shown us so much love. They've shown us so much kindness. They helped us do that little... You guys remember when we went to Serbia?
No.
I know. Yeah, just Eric, that whole week is just erased. lost in the fog. We had a great time, and we were there courtesy of our friends at Ivaca TV, who they want you at home to see us doing things like that.
They actually are our friends.
They are our friends.
Like, they actually want success for us.
They want to see us succeed. They want you to see us succeed. They want you to see us do cool things, like go to Serbia, watch our cool projects like this Serbia project we're working on now. And they want you, first and foremost, to be able to see your favorite teams. So that's why they're giving Colorado sports fans $10 off for the first 3 months of a contract that's going to get your Colorado Avalanche, your Denver Nuggets, your favorite teams back on your TV, all in crystal HD. To score this deal, you go to ivaca.tv/Colorado10. That's ivaca.tv/Colorado10. It's only $25 a month plus a $5 receiver fee. But remember, Colorado sports fans, you're getting $10 off per month for the first 3 months. No contracts, no catches. Man. Ivaca TV is made for champions of watching sports.
I know, like, think about having like a Netflix account. Like, you watch whatever. There's like something everyone's talking about. You watch it like intermittently. But this is like having like a Netflix account for sports.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
It's like, I mean, there's other.
And my hope is to make it even more so that, like, honestly, yeah. I want this documentary to slap so hard that it's like, hey, 5 documentaries a year, let's do
totally.
This.
Totally, but it's like, you know, I mean, it's like if you would pay $25 a month to make sure you have all your sports, like, yes, that's all I watch anyway.
Well, and for Colorado sports fans, you can just put all of your experience in one place. You watch the game live on Ivaca TV, and if you're sitting there thinking, that was fun, I don't want to go to bed, you come out, you hang with us on the DNVR channel. You're up on it's a Sunday, you're bored, you fire up the Serbia doc just to kill a couple hours and learn some cool things. So make the Denver sports experience in one house and put Ivaca TV in your house. Oh,
come on. That was so good. Yeah.
DraftKings TV is America's top rated. DraftKings TV. DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top rated sportsbook. They're also official sports betting partners of the NFL. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on any football game. They're going to get $200, 200 in free bets instant law. Also, you don't have to be a new customer to get sweet promotions from DraftKings. Right now, everyone can experience the thrill of the early win promotion. This is one of those no-brainers you should get in my opinion. It's simple. If you bet on a team to win and they go up by 7 at any point, you win, even if they lose. So
show us your win. We always love when you win with us too, man.
Yeah.
Tag DraftKings so they know that we're doing good.
That's right, yeah. and then just say like, hey, DraftKings, love your product. I only use it because of DNVR Nuggets.
Oh, man.
So as many of those screenshots as we... Anyway, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use promo code DNVR to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code DNVR. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See those show notes for more details.
Oso Blanco's on fire in the chat today. I don't know if you guys... He has this great idea. I mean, can we hire him as a producer here at the end?
You can hire my job.
Oso Blanco, he says, I want Ivaca to start a cartoon. He means cartoon, called The Smuggets, where the characters overcome Nug Life in every episode and learn life lessons.
I think awesome.
I actually think that's called the DNVR Nuggets podcast.
That is. I want us to treat it like to really just be like the Smurfs, though, where the word Smugget has... unlimited number of definitions. They could just use it all.
Just
the time.
Paint me blue. You're halfway there.
You're like, oh, let me smug it our way.
I went as a Smurf.
Are Smurfs that small though? I guess
they're three apples high.
Even
I'm bigger. I went as a Smurf for Halloween, and I was looking for the body paint, and I found one called Smurf Blue. I thought, oh, this will work.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So I looked the part for sure.
I love that.
Anyway, we're back.
All right. You guys ready to go to the haters ball?
Are we ready? Let's go!
I have to turn my hat back.
Yeah, yeah. Send us to the haters ball. There we are. Oh, my goodness. Rally caps on. Let's get this going. You guys, we like EuroBasket.
Yeah.
I might go as far as to say I love EuroBasket. I'm a EuroBasketsman now and will be for the foreseeable future. Maybe forever. But there's some things about it that I hate. Absolutely despise.
Time to unburden ourselves.
Smash.
So if you're new to the haters ball... We are going to rank everything on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being we hate it. Mm. We hate it. 10 being we absolutely love it. For example, Nikola Jokic, 10.
10. Absolute 10.
Man, who could we really? The Los Angeles Lakers.
That's a one.
Dude, that's a one. No. That's a negative one.
I mean, the scale only goes zero. So low. So now, there might be some things on this list that you absolutely love and some things that you absolutely hate. I want your honest answers here, and in the chat, you guys can play along with us. We're going to start with the final four teams. I'm going to start with Team Poland.
Yeah.
Team Poland.
1.
Wait, you hate Poland?
Wait, 10. Sorry, I messed up the rules already.
Wait,
10.
No, you got it right. Nope, you got it wrong. 10 is love. Yeah, 10 is love.
We'll do it live. I love Poland.
You love Poland 10?
Actually,
man, that's Serbia as a 10, aren't
they? Make
it
a 9 for Panicka. Make it a 9.
A 9?
That's a lot of love for Poland, man.
I know,
I thought you were going to come in hot, but not that hot.
I'm a Cinderella tournament kind of guy. You know?
Oh, man. Ugh. Man, I'm like a 5. I don't care.
You're like totally neutral.
Like, I just feel like they got there, but like I just watching the way that Serbia dispensed them. Like I don't believe. I believe that they are benefactors of circumstance. Like I just whatever. I don't hate them. I don't love them. I listen. The Cinderella story of Panitka. It's fine. Whatever. Five. You get a five, Poland.
I'm gonna go 6.5. I liked. They were a five to me too. Like I don't care at all about them until I saw Panitka in that last game. They did beat Slovenia, who is who I was going for in that game. I was rooting for Slovenia, but at the end of the day, they did win me over with their grit. Actually, it was just Panitka. I didn't like anybody else on the team. Yeah, 6.5. Yeah. Spain.
Ooh.
Team Spain. Eric. This,
okay, Team Spain.
Billy Hernan Gomez, even though he spells it with a W.
So
Juancho.
So I feel like, are we taking into consideration historical feelings about not only the team, the place.
This is yours.
The culture.
Whatever it is politics. That you use to bring into Team Spain.
So
Rudy Fernandez was on the team.
I know.
Still somehow. He's like my age.
I'm considering Rafa Nadal somehow. I mean, I'm all over the place. All the Spanish nationals are coming into play here. How
do I enjoy my
time in Barcelona, which was delightful.
Oh, it's a great city.
Iberic and ham, delicious. Spain with oh my gosh, Juancho, Bo Cruz, do I still love them? I mean, I'm going to give them a 7.
What about the Spanish-American War? Have you factored that in at all yet?
There's a lot of factors here. Like, I'm gonna.
Hemingway wrote glowingly.
I feel
Spain.
Positively about Spain. I'm going to say 7,
because he likes ham and cheese sandwiches.
I have no idea what he's going to. I said Spain's national basketball
he's
team.
The
These
country.
Things do come into it, though. I guess in some capacity. Spanish rice.
But the thing is that there were the conquistadors.
Oh, my God. The conquistadors.
I'm going to go.
All right. He went 7. Even with conquistadors, he went 7. Poland 5.
Ponce de Leon? I mean.
So I kind of think like they're the big brand of Europe. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're kind of like, just in terms of success, the way we would talk about the Yankees or the Lakers, like they're kind of the evil empire. Probably not the operative choice of words for a European tournament, but
Eurobasket?
Just Spain. Because
they're good?
Because they win all the time. Because they're always going through. Because they're an institution. Okay. Maybe they're more like the Spurs, you could say. But so I think people are sick of them, and I get that. I'm going to say 5 because half of me hates them. Half of me appreciates how well coached they are, how well they perform, how well they execute. Because they're good for a reason, and it's not just player XYZ.
I'm going to lose a lot of love for Serbian followers here. I'm an 8. Hey, I so appreciate them.
Seven.
You're right about them being, but I don't see them as the evil empire. Of course, I'm not emotionally connected to these things. What I see them as the last 20 years, they do it right. When I watch, what I
the
love.
Spanish flu?
Gosh dang it, the Spanish flu. Not factoring any of that. For me, I'm talking basketball. What I like is they had a generation of great players come through. And a new culture, and they've somehow found a way to like copy that, and now they have a new generation that plays very similar to them. I appreciate that. I love it. And for me, when I think about these things, that's what a legacy is. When you're able to hand it off to the next generation, I see them doing that. I give them an 8. Germany. Team Ooh. Germany.
Here's
Please
what I,
let's not factor
here's
historical
what I, yeah, right.
into this.
We're going to leave historical everything out on this one. Here's what I love about international tournaments, and I learned about this the first time through watching the World Soccer Cup. And you just see the way that different nations approach a game.
Like, the World Soccer Cup. soccer lover Yaya just cringed so hard.
I don't care. This is for America. This is an American show. So the point being, like, you see the like a personality of a nation come through the way that they play a sport. Like when you watch the Germans play, they're very technical. They're very, like the way that they play is like very mechanical, very technical. And some of this creeps over into the way that they play basketball as well. Like I personally prefer like the way that Brazil plays soccer, football.
Yeah. Like, it's like fun.
With a little,
flashy.
Panache,
yeah, it's
like, this is like,
it's a dance.
Yes, the way that
there's a lot of
the way that Germany plays basketball is kind of the same. It's a little bit robotic. It's like they have tactics.
Is this high or low then for you? Is this good or bad?
I'm just talking it through right now. I think that on the whole, like I appreciate the German engineering side of the world, but like it's a little boring to me. I'm going to go a 4. I feel less.
Eric is going so deep. He's never gone these deep
but
before.
But he's not
going
to touch the big.
Yeah. Thank God.
They did beat Brazil a lot. Was it 7-0? Yeah, yeah. 7-1.
That's all right. We got to go. Yeah, we got to go quicker, guys. Brazil. We are only 3 through a 12 haters ball thing, and we're halfway through our time.
Little known fact known only to those who have ever seen my last name. I'm German. I'm sending it. I'm giving him an 8.5.
8.5?
Just because of your own heritage?
And
because
they're fun to watch.
They are fun to watch. This way I'm
giving them... They're good at basketball.
I'm giving them a 7. I'm giving them a 7. Franz Wagner, one of the darlings for me of this tournament. He's been incredible. Their team is fun to watch mostly because of him. Dennis Schroeder, who I don't even like, is like so fast and so good in this one. I don't know. I'm with it. Then there's Daniel Tice. Weighs it down a little. I'm not the biggest Daniel Tice fan. Is it because he played for Boston so
probably,
much? Probably. Yeah. I don't know. He gets weighed down. Oh
France.
Flo.
Plug your ears. Plug your ears. France.
Do
they
some
feature
for a
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
They feature Fournier, who I like very much.
Yeah.
They've got Gershon Yabusele, first team all ass. Where are we going, vote?
First team all ass. Giving them a 1.
Oh, we hate
them. Hey.
I don't like France. Now, before you take that personally, it's only because of your culture.
What?
I'm just kidding. I don't like...
Everybody says Paris is like everybody's rude. I went there. I met the nicest people. I don't know. Maybe it's me.
I didn't experience French rudeness.
Everyone's like, oh, every waiter, once you come in and they find out you're American, which is immediately, they're going to be like this and that. And everybody was like, so like, oh, good to meet you.
Eric, just a note for you there from the Oso Blanco. They did give us the Statue
Man,
of Liberty.
Yeah, factor that into your rating here.
All right, okay.
Where'd you go? Fire. Oh, so you're 1.
Yeah.
It starts and stops with one
that's
factor.
That's so true.
One factor
it's
alone.
So true. Same for me.
Rudy Gobert.
I'll
give him a 2.
Just can't come around on Rudy Gobert.
All right, here's a question. Because I'm gonna go 1 as well. I just can't root for them. I have to have an enemy in life, and they're my enemy. But let me. And it is all Gobert. It's nothing. It's absolutely no other Rudy part Gobert. Of him. By the way, I think France. Again, I told you we'll have Deci fall on the show pretty soon here, and he believes France is going to be a powerhouse for years, decades to come because of what they have going on, which is very interesting. Let me ask you this: FIBA Gobert. Or NBA Gobert. Both are drowning. You can save one. Are you saving FIBA Gobert or NBA Gobert?
Oh, I'm saving NBA Gobert.
You're saving NBA Gobert?
Yes,
because Gobert is like the top Gobert.
Yeah, because I get to watch then Jokic cook NBA Gobert every time they match up. No greater joy than watching Jokic cook Gobert.
All right, next one. Italian coach Gianmarco Pizzecco. Italian coach Gianmarco.
Buckle
Pizzecco.
Up, Serbia. Buckle up. Because I love this.
I do too. I do too. It's the worst.
Oh, man.
I love him. Even though he clowned.
I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I did. I'm picking up what he's putting down.
Me too. Batshit insanity.
It's packaged
in the funnest way.
It's a 9.
Oh,
nine?
A 9?
That's a little high for me.
Dude, I'm like 8. A 4. I'm a 4 on this guy.
You're not feeling
it. The theatrics. like when he was crying on the way out, I was like, bro, like you can be a little less Italian. You don't have to go full throat Italian at every opportunity.
Everybody's either going to be a 10 or a 1 on this one. I love it. There's no in between.
Yeah, no. This is the haters ball, dude. There's no shades of gray in the haters ball.
I'm going 7.5, which is a remarkable score. Like this is it's a razor's edge. This like he goes 1 degree too far. He's a 0 to me. He's a 1 to me.
That's right.
But for some reason, I found it like hilarious. Like I love characters. He reminds me of a Doug Moe or something.
But he was like your child getting ejected from a game. Like, thanks the refs.
When he went to hug Fontecchio after he bricked the free throws, and Fontecchio's like, dude, get off of me.
He jumps on Giannis. Giannis is like, dude, go away.
He's the worst in the best way, though. So I had to go high. I'm sorry.
So childish.
I apologize.
He was a treat.
We've just used up all of our Serbian cred. We are
longer
welcome.
Oh, I'm not. I'm still in.
We're no longer welcome.
I am Queens Boulevard.
Jesus Christ.
Nice.
FIBA officials.
Three.
Really?
I am back and forth on this because I really appreciate that they don't call a lot of things.
Yes.
And then sometimes they don't call things. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they just let it go, man. I like it.
So it is tough because free throws are the bane of NBA existence. But then also sometimes it's like, what helps the games be more, I don't know, even. So, yeah. Oh, this is tough. So this hard. Is tough. Giving really love tough to one. An official feels
it
like
it does feel wrong.
It feels like very blue line. It feels like being. I feel like I just have to be a five. Like, you just have to be a five. You have to appreciate, respect, but not give too much love.
Protect the thin black and white lines. Yes.
I'm going to tell you, I'm a six, which is a positive score, slightly positive. Here's the thing. I feel like if I watched them all the time, I would hate them.
Yeah.
I would absolutely hate them.
Oh, totally.
You know how you have a friend or, you know, somebody you know in your life where you're like, you see them once every 5 years. Great weekend.
Yeah.
Family reunion or something. You're like, but if you're like, if I was around that guy every day, like, I would be like, I would hate this dude. Yeah. That's how the officials are to me. They're hilarious. I think they're a little bit corrupt. But they also like will mock you for things. They called a freaking technical for legitimately called a technical on Italy for flopping. It actually cost them the game. And it's like, don't flop in the final minute and a half, man. Yeah. Just don't do it.
I actually love that they call out flops.
And they don't even just call it out. They'll mock you as they call it out. Huh,
get up. Oh, then they go like this.
Or get up. Yeah, like they'll like do this to you as you're just like, oh man, yeah, like, oh, you little child.
But I do think what we like are some of the rules. I think what we like is some of the structure.
Yeah.
I think some of the calls these refs have made are horrible.
There's some really bad ones.
We've seen some.
There are terrible,
horrible calls. I do like. Well, I don't know if this is on your sheet. The refs being mic'd up. Do you have that on there?
No.
Is this part of it?
It's gonna be part of it.
I like that part a lot. Ooh. I liked him just.
Oh,
like,
man.
Kind of barking back at. The
also
coach
broken English. Like.
Oh yeah.
You have like a Polish guy, an Italian guy, and then a Czech official, right, and they're all speaking broken English to each other,
and they're all upset at each other.
Yeah.
Just like your hilarious. Player.
This is joke. You are joke.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Lowry Markkanen.
Oh.
No, I mean, come on.
If you asked me this 3 weeks ago, I have no takes on Lowry Markkanen other than he dunked on Jokic, so 4.8. But it's changed, Eric.
Lowry Markkanen. I cannot abandon the thoughts I have in my head about pre-Eurobasket Lowry Markkanen.
They were bad?
They were. I mean, he actually dunked over Jokic.
Yeah, really hard. Really, the hardest he's ever been posted is by Lowry freaking Markkanen.
Yeah, he gave us the sauce in a game. He beat the Denver Nuggets sure almost single-handedly. He's been impressive in Eurobasket. I'm going to give Lowry Markkanen... A three!
You suck, Lowry Markkanen.
I don't care about you in your own basket.
All right, vote.
I was going to give him an eight, but I liked Eric's answer better.
I think I'm pro Lowry Markkanen.
You're pro Lowry?
He looks like a child. He's the most baby-faced player in all of the NBA. It's not talked about. Actually, you know what he looks like? He looks like a Roman statue.
Oh,
he does.
The curly hair.
Not a finished statue?
Yeah, he looks like a statue. Not a finished statue. He looks Roman. He's a good player, man. What I like is when players who are kind of like, look, I think Lowry Markkanen's like how he's viewed by an American NBA only audience is kind of dorky, kind of nerdy.
Oh, that's he got a three over here.
Yeah, and then he got a three. But then you see him like cross guys over, step back in the clutch, and like talk a little trash on the way out. You're like, well, Mamba mentality from Lowry. I never saw this coming.
This is the thing where you watch a bum on the NBA court and you're like, this guy's terrible. What a bum. And
is he a bum though? This is
But this
thing.
Is the point is that then you see them at their high school where they're just crossing fools up. Like,
that's a good point.
Every single player is that good if given the right circumstances.
This is the ultimate Smush Parker is the ultimate guy. Smush Parker overcame like homelessness and everything else. He was a street ball legend in New York. And if you would have cut his story off at a certain time, he would have been like the most famous, you know, like, oh man, that's a legend.
Yeah.
You go to Rucker Park and play against Smush Parker and you were going to get embarrassed. And all we know him is like, oh, that dork that Kobe made fun
Kobe
of?
Kobe like, used as the punchline of like why his
every joke, and it's weird. Like Lowry Markkanen's a little bit that. I will say this. Lowry Markkanen played for the Chicago Bulls when they were absolutely a horribly ran franchise, which is still currently ongoing. And then he played for the Cleveland Cavaliers and actually shined. I don't know. He might be good.
No, he's good. He's
second
good.
Draft. He might be one of those second draft guys that were like, he's going to end up being just a good player for years to come. And
he is good. I mean, I hope that the three that I gave him doesn't weigh him down mentally. But
I'm only going to give him a 6.5 because I think he's good, but I actually just – I'm not that into him.
He's a
three. And he's at Utah now, and it's like
– he's at Utah. Yeah. He's a two. Mark him down, two.
Is he not going to be like perfect Utah player? Are they going to love him?
Oh my God.
They're going to love him.
He's going to
Franz Wagner. Actually, we already did Germany. I can just – we'll skip him. We got to keep moving.
He's great. We love him.
All right. I really do love him. Like, he's one of my guys now. I can't believe it. I would have given him an 8. Foreign players representing national teams.
It's a 1.
Oh, you mean like
Lorenzo Brown.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, I should have docked Spain for this. I actually should have docked him for. I'm blowing him to a 7.
Man, this is interesting, is it not?
It's not that interesting to me.
Well, I mean,
to like, me, it's black and white.
Is it? Well, sometimes there. I mean, there are. Well, okay. I get.
Can you imagine if Team USA added Joel Embiid? Can you just imagine if we were like, yeah, no, he plays in the U.S., ergo, we'll give him a U.S. citizenship so he can play for us. It would be like, That's great. You make raise a very interesting point.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you raise a really interesting point.
I mean, I kind of like idea that you could just use every tool in your quiver to field the best team. Nobody else seems to like it. I'm going to go the opposite direction. I think it's a 10. It's the greatest.
Oh, you're the worst. I think it. Whatever the extra here. You know what we tried to draw with the comps to college basketball and what makes this special and the feeling of community and the representation between the team and the fans, and it's obviously diluted by this inclusion. There are exceptions, you know what I mean? Like Tyler Dorsey looks like a sellsword. Tyler Dorsey, he's just Greek. I think it's his grandfather's Greek, and so that's cool. But they're.
But it's also like, is Giannis Greek?
Like AJ Slaughter, is he Polish?
Interesting question to me because even if you ask Giannis, he says, no, I'm Nigerian. Yes, like everything about us is Nigerian. But at least that one I understand. Like, come on. Like, Greece was still a home for you, you know, what have you. So I get it. I just am so against this because the more I get into obviously studying Serbian/Yugoslavian history and even Spanish teams and everything else, I'm like, I think it's cool that they're the way culture intertwines with your style of basketball and your history of basketball. And you lose that when you just start hiring sell swords. And so I'm very, very against it. I would give it a 1. I actually hate it. I wish that we made a rule that it can no longer happen under very narrow circumstances.
The hate corner was us giving good grades to everything except France.
We're full of love.
Hey, we hate Gobert. I don't know what you want me to tell you. We hate him. And we told you at the beginning to plug your ears, Flo.
My last one here. The Finnish coach's outfit. You guys notice this?
Yeah.
A coach in Finland.
I gave you a
very
couple,
unique
yeah.
style. Most people, they go suit or maybe they go polo, you know, team polo. Do you have it here?
Oh. He
goes form-fitting tight t-shirts.
Yo.
Look at this guy. I mean, all of them. Tight t-shirts. He looks like he's 8 years
that
old.
Watch.
He actually looks like... He looks like an AI. If I, you know those new AIs where you give it a prompt and it draws something? If I was like a Finnish sports coach,
it would have created. He looks like a designer. He's the designer.
He does look like a designer
of the Finnish success. He looks like Steve Jobs.
This guy has a lot of design takes.
Yeah. Interesting.
He would really be very critical of some of your work.
He would.
But in ways that you appreciate. You're like, wow.
No, you know what? This guy, he's a designer that like relies heavily on a grid. And thinks it's like a revelation. There's nothing less interesting to me than a designer that relies on a grid and like loves Helvetica. You're like, congratulations.
Dude, this joke is
this
flying.
Is so niche. That's
I'm
the
sure
most
you niche. Nailed it.
Our one buddy that's the designer of the Joker can is like hit the like button immediately when he heard that one.
But that's that guy. So I like can relate to him, but like we can't hang out.
So how do you grade his outfit, his wardrobe?
His wardrobe? I mean,
his style. His
knowing that he's a coach. I think it's inappropriate for the setting. I like it in a bubble, but in the setting, I find it to be a 2.
I feel like there's too much personal baggage. Derek's take on
what the hell is the haters guy?
Hey, you're right. What is it?
I think Eric's killing me. Yeah, 7. I'll give it a 7. He looks much like the Italian coach. Well, we like to avoid stereotypes. We also love when they come right to life in very vivid fashion. And so he looks just the way I expected he would. And that's always good with me.
Nobody ever noticed this. Nobody ever noticed it. But have you ever noticed my wardrobe? Plain.
Do you know what? Plain t-shirts.
This guy wears nothing. There's no print. There's no logo. There's no nothing. He's just wearing a form-fitting plain shirt.
How did
I
you
absolutely
start that
love
sentence
it.
Off?
10. I'm giving it a 10.
How
he
did you start that
style.
Sentence off? No one noticed it.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know why? You don't pay attention. You don't pay attention. You know what it is? My personality is the thing I want you focused on.
Mm. Oh my
god! I'm providing you a blank canvas.
Okay,
is the philosophy
so that's why.
My
so
personal
the,
style.
So the 3 that you receive is based purely off the personality. Yeah. Clothes do not make the man.
I approve of it. I think it's a great outfit. I love it. Only he could pull it off. Most coaches would look terrible in that look, but
listen, I get
my guy's
it.
In great shape.
Yeah, like you look at that is what you expect from a Scandinavian-esque
Mervin's-esque sort of
like
outfit.
Yeah, right? I get it. It's like, come on, bro, you're a sports coach.
On the other side, we are going to keep this going, guys, with a game of Do You Approve, which is basically just the haters bowl continues.
Oh, heck yeah.
Can't wait,
dude. Our games are
some weird ones, though. Some very weird ones.
Our game is the Taco Bell menu. Our show. It's just the same three ingredients
that's
reshuffled around.
That's
every...
so true.
All right. Do you guys want to know something real cool about Breckenridge Brewery?
Oh, man. Tell me.
They've got a birthday coming up.
I've been Breck brewing it up lately.
You really? It?
Avalanche Ambers.
Well, really?
As I call the Colorado beer. Well, in my opinion, the quintessential Colorado beer. And do you know when it is best to drink an Avalanche Amber?
When's that, Adam?
In fall.
In fall?
When you wake up and there's just a little dew on the grass.
Oh, boy.
Do you guys know what I'm
talking
about?
You can get Breck Brews for $4 at the DNVR bars on Fridays from 4 to 6.
When the clouds are so low.
You
got to
be a part of the Friday Beers Club.
No, Friday Afternoon Club.
Oh, thank you. Friday Afternoon. FAC. How do you become a member of that club, Eric?
You show up.
You show up, and you have a Breck Brew for $4. Also, Breck Brew is 32 years young, and to celebrate, they're throwing a weekend-long Hootenanny, which is real nice because I like to say Hootenanny. Kick off the fall with live music, food, and beer, of course. Plus games on October 8th and 9th at their Littleton location. They've got national acts like the Spin Doctors, if you want to do this ad read, Earth rocking out. So stay tuned to everything DNVR for Hootenanny giveaways leading up to October 8th. Check out the link in the description. Hootenanny. Check out the link in the description or breckbrew.com for more details on tickets and artist lineups.
What if you said how much you love saying it? You just butchered it.
Yeah. I know. One time I was in a car accident, guys. I was on my way to Portland to cover the Trailblazers playoff series, my first playoff series on the road.
I remember that.
And then someone hit me with their car. It was really tough. I had to go to the hospital, and I was scared, and there was no one with me. And this hospital, which I won't name, they didn't even check me, guys. They didn't do any tests. They left me on my own. They discharged me. And I sure wish at the time that I could have talked to or had someone in my corner, like the folks at
I was there for you.
At Travis Legal Offices, because Travis Legal Offices understands how hard it is to deal with the aftermath of car collisions and wants to be in your corner fighting for what you deserve. They're family run and they're an experienced Colorado personal injury cases and insurance disputes. Travis Legal Offices has attorneys who are educated locally at DU and CU law schools and a staff that has more than 35 years of experience in handling personal injury cases. So call Travis Legal Offices today, like I should have, at 303-766-8766 for a free consultation on your personal injury matter. One more time. That's 303-766-8766. Or you can reach out 24/7 on the web at travislegaloffices.com.
Let's go.
Yeah.
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 All right, we are back here, segment three, and we're going to play a game, you guys. We're
play let's go.
Here, and it's called Do You Approve?
Okay.
Do you approve?
This are the rules of the game?
You just have to say if you approve or not.
No, okay. We got this. All right.
All right. We're going to start with this headline. This is coming to us courtesy. Scroll down so I can see the who it's coming from. It's a New York outlet here. Nope, scroll down, not zoom in. Man, yeah. There it is. First time using a computer. NBC New York, Giselle... I don't even know how to say it.
Giselle Bündchen.
Bündchen candidly reveals the sacrifices she made for her husband, Tom Brady, who lost two Super Bowls to the New York Giants.
Hell yeah, he
did. Do you approve of this headline?
Yes, I approve.
Sometimes you have to put a little context to who's being talked about. This is the Tom Brady that lost two Super Bowls to the Giants.
This is how you do it in New York. This is Giants fandom at its best. And you know what? It's true. And this is how we enjoy Tom Brady headlines, Eric, because he can't hurt us in New York.
He can't hurt us anymore, period. Wow. Yeah, no, this is great. Absolutely. You've got to get your shots in where you can. New York down bad in almost every sporting way.
It's been tough.
It's been tough. They have a ton of people, a million sports teams. They all suck. They all are disappointments. So whenever you have a chance to shine some glory on something that happened long ago.
We should be doing this. We should have been like Donovan Mitchell, who blew a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets, was traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's what we're going to do.
You get that, going forward. That's how all headlines need to be.
Henceforth.
Kyle Kuzma, you guys, more than just an athlete. I don't know if you guys know this. He's also a supermodel.
Oh, God damn it.
I don't know if you knew this. Have you seen this?
Yes, I saw this.
Go ahead and play it, Roll that beautiful footage. This is none other than Kyle Kuzma at a fashion show, not as a spectator, but as a model himself.
No, as a spectacle.
As a spectacle. How would you grade this outfit here? How, first of all, actually, how would you grade the walk?
Well, first off, he's being put in a bad position. I had to come to any defense of Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah. Oh, wow, here you come.
But somebody is a professional designer of clothing and fashion, and they made that absolute atrocity that they just sewed coats onto his legs and then made him walk down the aisle. I mean, like, there's like I like Project Runway.
Me too.
I actually love any show that is focused on creativity under pressure. You like to see how people can respond and what they can come up with. Oftentimes they'll put something down the aisle that you'll be like, man, that's really stupid, but I understand the thought that went through it. That was dumb as fuck. With that they just sewed coats around. Like, that sucked. Like, whoever designed that is an idiot and a loser. I hate that. To put then Kyle Kuzma as your model, another F.
Hey, he's tall.
He is skinny. Tall. He's wearing a silvery tank top. This sucks. This looks like something that a child would create if you were allowed him to raid your closet.
I think he looks like the rhinos from Robin Hood, the animated one. Do you guys remember how they were dressed?
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, just like that.
Okay.
That's what they look like.
So stupid. So this is a failure through and through.
Do you not approve?
Let me. What are the rules of this game?
Again? Yeah. Do you approve?
Or I do not approve.
Okay. I can't follow that up. I don't approve. I hope he's happy. I hope he's happy, man. Fashion's about expression.
I hope he's not happy.
I hope he's miserable. Yes. I hope he's so unfulfilled from that experience. My guy, Dragonfly Jones, I've never talked to him in my life, even on Twitter. But I do really, really like this guy. He had a hilarious tweet that I thought summed up the Sarver situation. David Stern would have basically said the same thing as Silver. Remember Silver put his foot in his mouth when he was like, said the truth?
Yeah.
And he was like, owners are judged by a different standard because they own the team. He says he would have said the same thing, except he would have flamed the F out of Howard Beck in the process. Of course there's a different standard for owners. How old are you, Howard? Look at little Howie finally figuring out how the world works. First of all, 1,000% what David Stern would have done. There's a famous story about David Stern one time during a lockout when Scott Skiles had like raised a point or something. He goes, well, let's see. On the one side, we have billions of dollars of owners. And on the other side, we have Scott freaking Skiles. Sit down and shut up. Like, that's how he handled business, like a mafia boss.
Yeah.
And guess what? Giant corporations, these things are murky. They're a little complicated. I thought you guys did a good job talking about all the reasons. Like, we see this report and you think, how is this guy not kicked out of the NBA? And the answer is because the NBA can't.
Right.
You guys raised all of the important points, I think, about, like, clearly this guy. I mean, is it a surprise Robert Sarver's a piece? Like, we've known this for years, right? Like, nothing that was in that report was things that we had not heard 100 times over about Robert Sarver as, like, secondhand stories. And guess what? All of the stuff there corroborated by secondhand stories, but no evidence to get a guy out. So if you try to tell Robert Sarver, get out of here, guess what happens? This goes into an investigation. You go into discovery. And it reminds me, how did John Gruden get fired? Do you remember? Yep.
Through finding out there was a discovery about the
Washington Redskins.
The Washington
Redskins. At the time, the Redskins. At the time, them. So they were really, because when you open up an investigation and you go into discovery, because he would counter sue saying, you can't make me sell my team, they would say, okay, we need to open up all emails to and from every owner in the league. And every owner would be like, let's not do that. Oh, I don't want that to happen. Because you might end up getting some owner in another city fired for it. So long story short, why didn't they just kick him out? Because they can't. If they had a smoking gun, case closed. Yep. If not, we're going to have to sue each other. Open up everybody's emails and books, and it's not going to happen.
No, we don't want that.
So this is the simple part of it. Anyway, this is why I find that so funny, is because there was so much discourse about what should or can or what happened. It's like, guys, this is what David Stern would have said, is, did none of you know how the world works?
Right.
Did none of you know how this is going on?
No, we actually had a club of the most ethical billionaires in the world. They're all the owners of these sports teams, very conveniently, and none of them have ever messed up.
By the way, it wouldn't have just ended at owners. Like, you open up something like that, you're getting into coaches, you're getting into scouts, you're getting into players. Like, this would be a grenade that would harm the whole league.
Right.
I'm not trying to justify any of it. I'm just trying to tell you how the world works.
Right? Yep.
This is why it's going the way that it is. I approve of that tweet. I think it's hilarious.
It's a great tweet.
True comedy is when you can describe something sad about the world in a way that just makes you laugh. That's like some of the best comedy. And that's what that one is. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. The world is kind of effed up. David Stern knew it, and he was hilarious about it. The Redeem Deem documentary. You guys seen this?
No. Yeah.
There's a documentary about the Redeem Team, which for me is one of my all-time favorite teams. I love Team USA when they came back together and played. Kobe obviously is one of the big leaders. LeBron James. It's produced by Dwayne Wade and LeBron James.
Oh boy.
It's told from the perspective of Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James.
Okay.
I'll go first. I don't approve. This is a LeBron has never told a good story about himself, and he's told a lot of stories about himself. And I can't wait for this to ruin one of my favorite memories.
Oh man. I mean, this is like the Michael Jordan documentary that Michael Jordan was involved in.
LeBron saw it and was like, I got to make one about the redeem. I can't wait to all the stories of the overcoming things they're going to have.
I don't really find, I mean, that it was may have been thrilling to watch in people's favorite teams, but I don't find the story particularly compelling.
Yeah, like, what is the story?
Like, we blew it, and then so we sent the best players in the world on the same team to pick up the mop up the mess.
And then we still blew it, and then Kobe saved our ass. Yeah, that's the story.
That part, too.
I can't wait till LeBron tells it of, like, hey, me and Kobe took over down the stretch.
Yeah.
We combined for the last 8 points, he and I. Him 8, me 0. It was really great, the two of us.
Yeah, that's not... what an uninteresting story.
Yeah.
It's going to be really dire. Everybody's so hyped for it. And it's because everybody's so...
Who's everybody?
I'm telling you, go on the timeline. They're like, oh, fire, flames. And it's just going to be Carmelo. Who also, by the way, Carmelo also... My least favorite autobiographer of all time is LeBron James. My second least favorite is probably Carmelo Anthony. Those two tell their own story in my least favorite way as possible.
Dude, any like prominent basketball player that has grown up in the age of the brand...
Yeah.
Is just like, you can't listen to a single thing that they have to say.
I can't wait till everybody counted us out.
And so you're like, what? Like, no one, that's the whole point, is that everyone counted you in. Yeah. And when you guys didn't do it before, like, what the hell?
They said USA basketball was dead.
Yeah. Like, wait, what? Somebody said Steph Curry can't shoot. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but while back, Michael Porter Jr., also known as MPJ, affectionately called MPJ, was trying out a new hairstyle. We can go ahead and throw that up there. And he asked people on social media, guys, are we feeling this? Are we feeling this? To which
80%
said no.
This screenshot is unbelievable. First of all, he can't ever try the poll thing ever again.
Yeah, he doesn't even get polled.
Look at this, dude.
Overwhelming amount of people did not like this throwback to 1999. Oh my God, dude. And update, Michael Porter Jr. was filmed, I think, the other day. It's kind of unclear because he's posting Instagram from
I've
Missouri.
Seen multiple... This, and there's a couple other shots of Michael Porter Jr.
Is it
lately.
From this week, though? Because then he's posting from Missouri. Man. Like, I don't get it.
I don't know.
This could be from 2 years ago, for all we know.
Okay.
That's Kyle Kuzma.
My question is, do we approve of the blonde?
Anyway, he went back. Well, my point is, Michael Porter went back to his regular hair, which has a higher approval rating than other haircuts. Do we approve of him being bullied into the right haircut?
Yes! Yes, we approve of this. Like, listen, sometimes the voice of the people needs to be heard. When I saw that blonde, like, he looked like he was a member of the Targaryens.
It kind of makes me like it.
You're like a fire, firebrand. But pull up the blonde
one
again, too.
Is he destined for greatness or madness? Wait to find out.
Pull up the blonde. The greatest thing here is that Michael Porter Jr. clearly shaves his widow's peak. And so you can see right in the front, there's a dark triangle going below the blonde clear line. Do you see this? Anyway, it looks ridiculous, Mike.
You did not like it.
No, who likes this? Who likes this?
20% of people.
Him going back. No, they did. 28%. They don't like it. That was Mike and his family. You know how many members of there are of the Porter
family?
Come
on, man. Low blow. I don't approve of that one.
I don't care.
How do you go?
I just think it's so funny that he posted it. It went 80-20 no, and then he just changed it.
I love that, dude.
I approve of it. Because
I approve of that so much.
Because he didn't put that poll out there just for clicks. He's listening.
He's like, wanted to know.
The people spoke. He listened, and he responded. So
signs of growth,
Michael
honestly.
Porter Jr., man of the people.
Signs impressed. Of growth being bullied by the internet.
I'm just saying. Eric, what if you were like, new shirt, what do you guys think? And it was
I
like,
do this all the time.
No, you do it privately.
Well, yes. But if I get like every shirt that I put out, I test and people will be like, I don't like that. And I'll be like, okay, got to go back to the lab. Got to figure it out.
Is this shirt tough? Yes or nah?
No, I get some nahs. Tough. Sometimes I get a nah.
You get a nah, man. Guys, Mike McDaniel, he's an offensive coordinator, I believe.
Head coach now, I think.
Or head coach. Here we go. Let's go ahead and pull this up. Mike McDaniel says, as an assistant coach, he's to be able to make it from Sunday to Wednesday without showering. He can't do that as head coach. My question.
Great quote. That's an awesome anecdote.
Did he think he could get away with this from Sunday to Wednesday? And my question is, do you approve of 4 days without a shower? What is the longest you feel you can go without showering to be socially acceptable?
I have to go daily.
Me too.
I'm a man of odor.
I'm a man of odor.
In season, it's daily. Off season,
if you're not leaving the house, there's a difference. If you're prepping for you, like, can I tell you something? Stretch that out.
Disagree.
Really?
Disagree.
What? Tell us what happened during the pandemic.
I showered every day.
Daily.
I got into cold showers during the pandemic. I'm telling you, like, this is like, there's something about the act of showering that is like, hey, I'm doing things right.
Yeah, I personally really revel in not doing things right. And so a good Sunday to Wednesday session, like, sometimes that's good for the soul.
I'll go. Oh,
I only have a few pet peeves. This is one of them.
I didn't shower today. I'll go a full weekend.
A full weekend
without... If I don't see anybody. Yeah. If I'm going to come in contact with people, I'm going to acknowledge that their experience on Earth is just as important as my own, and I'm going to make myself presentable to them.
Camping, I'll go without showering. I'll swim in the river.
But in camping, you just smell like a
campfire smoke. Time, yeah. And you don't notice it until you come home, and you're like, holy crap, that smelled terrible. How did I not notice? I so disapprove with this. 24 hours, 36 hours to me is like pushing it. If I haven't showered for 36 hours, I'm crawling out of my skin.
I have a StreamYard gym shorts at home for like the last couple of weeks that I haven't washed probably in like a month. I wear them too much. Every StreamYard show.
Hell yeah.
Our last one here, fellas. There is a scandal that is rocking the chess world right now, and I don't know if you guys have heard about it. The world of chess been rocked by the biggest scandal in years after a player allegedly used wireless anal beads and the vibrations to signal his next move.
Obviously, I approve.
I was going to say, is there a limit to the lengths one must go in order to win a competition?
Here's my thing. Like, at a certain point, like, do we have to call them anal beads? Like, they could, you know what I mean? Like, if it's, they could just say, like, a wireless device. You know what I mean? Like, the word anal bead, very loaded. It means there's a lot of sexuality.
That's so true, dude. You're like, you gotta kink
shame them a little bit. We are kink shaming along with cheat shaming. This is kind of awesome. Like, this guy's willing to pull out all the stops.
What makes it great is chess is like the most elevated competition, right?
Yes.
The sport of kings, high society, this or that. And like, how do you get an edge?
Tainted by anal beads.
No one will ever suspect. My favorite. Can you also imagine just like the difficulty in training and everything else you must go to get the signals right to be able to be like, hold on.
I actually don't even understand the scandal.
It's first of all, here's like the best part. So here's the best part of the story, Eric.
How much could we pay for Eric to test out
this? Because this is the chess, and so no one's even clicked on this article that's going around.
No, about the headline so tells know, me all I want
not
to
Not a
know.
Story.
Not a story.
It's a Reddit theory. No, not an ounce of proof.
So wait, is this like, is this that like he has Deep Blue on the other side?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Telling Deep him Blue the best
is,
move.
Yep. And then Deep Blue is saying, signaling. Via anal beads.
Via vibrations and anal beads.
I'm sure it's like something to do with like Morse code or something, and it's telling you King 4C.
Do I approve? Which part do we approve?
I approve of everyone choosing to believe this totally false story is true. That's the part I approve of.
I found it to be a compelling story.
Maybe that's how Italy beat Serbia.
Oh, the Deep Blue was on the other end with anal beads.
Half-baked theory.
Oh, my God.
Guys, let's get out of the show. Cue that outro music there, will you? We hope you enjoyed this casual Thursday edition of the show. It really was a Friday show. It's our Friday. We're off tomorrow.
Jack Gutten says, so much for my granddaughter following the podcast.
Oh, sorry.
That is tough.
That was a tough.
Don't let your grandchildren listen.
That was a tough one. There's no grandchildren that like the show, is there?
No one likes the show.
That would be only grandchildren.
I guess everybody's somebody's grandchild. We hope you enjoyed following along. Guess what, guys? There's one more week of the off season left. Just one. That will be next week. On Monday show, we believe Kendrick Perkins will be on, which would be a banger. As we ramp up, I think we're going to have a couple guests actually next week. As we ramp up for the final week of the off season, and then...
On season!
Nope.
Preseason. I put this on Twitter. Like, I got the pangs, dude. I felt
the pangs.
I am getting into Nuggets mode. I am starting to visualize.
Was it right when the Broncos let the clock wind down? Is that when you started to feel the pangs?
No, you know, it was seeing that image of Michael Porter Jr. with naturally colored hair.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God. I felt it. I was like, I don't know. It's just the season is changing. Yeah. I'm wearing a hoodie today, dude. It's go time. I'm so goddamn ready.
One more week. We hope you join us for it. And then things kick off. Adios, everybody.
Let's go.